please rise. Join me in the salute to our flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Okay, our newly, this would be the first designated city clerk for this, because so this is it. Our newly designated city clerk will take the roll call.
Councilmember Watson.
Present.
Councilmember Hansen.
Here.
Councilmember Olson.
Here.
Councilmember Ingram.
Here.
Councilmember Mutchler.
Here.
Councilmember Birch.
Here.
Councilmember Goodrich.
Here. All present counted for. Good job, council. So before we go to the public comment period, Councilor Mutchler pointed out something to me. We'd like to thank all the high school students for attending, and we're not going to consider the fact that you were probably saving the best for last, not that you've been procrastinating and waiting to the last minute to get this assignment. We're sure that you've just been saving this for the last. She's laughing at it because she knows I'm going the other direction, but we welcome you. It's nice to have a full crowd. Okay, so next up is the public comment period. This is the period where people from the audience can speak to anything that's not on tonight's agenda. You'd come to the front, say your name and address, and you'd have 3 minutes to address the council on anything that's not on tonight's agenda. Do we have any takers? Going once. Welcome, sir. Don't put the hat on at the same time as the shirt. Don't need to get respect. It's just a small amount.
Okay.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm still Papa John, and I still live at 6072 Malloy. And I want to welcome officially here both Susan Duncan as our official city clerk and Riley Sweeney also as our communication director, because somebody could use some help with communication. We won't say who. Okay. As usual, I come now for 2 points, first puns and then what I call food for thought of points to ponder. Now, I am dressed tonight as a parakeet on purpose, or a parrot, because that's one of my puns. You know what you get when you cross a parrot and a wolverine? Nobody knows, but you better listen when it talks. Okay, did you hear? I may have said this one, but if I, pretend you didn't hear it, okay? You know what? Did you hear about the hippo that accidentally swallowed a clown? It said tastes funny. And then there's his father, soon-to-be father, whose wife is in labor, who called 911 in a panic. And the 911 operator says, "Calm down, sir. Is this your first child?" And he said, "No, you moron. This is her father." Oh, get that? See, is this her first child? You have to explain it. Now, I'm going to say and repeat, this is food for thought, okay? Your honest portrayal of your past may be the, quote, courage for another's future. You know, have you ever felt, for example, you were the only one that fill in the blank, did this, thought that, whatever? So your honest portrayal of your past may be a key to that person's success. The second is, it's our focus more than our feelings that determines the sort of people we are. Our focus more than our feelings that determines the sort of people we are. And the third thought is, the most fertile ground remains barren if no seed is sown. Okay, that would be if you think about your part. The most fertile ground remains barren if no seed is sown. We have students here. Unfortunately, the seed they get is good seed, so good seed sown represents good crops. God bless.
Thank you. Anyone else for the open comment period? Anyone? Anyone? Okay. We'll move on to the agenda. Next up, I'm going to invite our esteemed police chief forward, and he has a presentation to make. And then he's going to do his presentation and leave and go eat cake. I just wanted to mention that to people.
Life's not fair. Good evening, Council. No small measure, the character of Ferndale has been shaped by those who volunteer on its behalf. And the police department's SCOPE program is a great example of how volunteers can make a difference in their community. And tonight I am joined in the audience by members of the police department's SCOPE program, its newest member, and their inspired leader, Lieutenant Matt Huffman. The SCOPE program and its volunteer force donates hundreds of hours annually serving the public good and the public safety by enforcing handicapped parking restrictions, providing traffic control at special events, monitoring speed checkpoints, conducting house security checks, and recovering lost and stolen bicycles. And it is only because of the donated labors of these dedicated citizens that we can get any of these tasks accomplished at all. Tonight we induct Barbara Bobby Ferguson as the newest member of SCOPE, where she will serve with eight other SCOPE officers, two of whom are original charter members from 1999. They still serve today, and one of them, Tony, is still here today, and it's always good to see you, Tony. Barbara has volunteered to become our newest community service officer as well, SCOPE not being enough. That position was originally held by Bill Petrosic, who had to step aside for medical reasons. I have every confidence that Barbara is going to bring this community service officer position to new heights. Come up here, Barbara. The mission of the community service officer is to promote neighborhood safety and emergency preparedness through citizen cooperation and education. In other words, to help our neighbors work together to become more crime and disaster resistant. And no one brings more qualifications to these two tasks than Bobby Ferguson. A graduate of Pepperdine University with BA and MBA degrees, she has done postgraduate work in the area of management and leadership, including studying at Claremont University with Dr. Peter Drucker, one of the best known and most widely influential thinkers and writers on the subject of management theory and practice, and the inventor of the concept known as management by objectives. Barbara has a daughter, Jessica, four grandchildren, serves as the president of the board of directors for the Correll Park Homeowners Association, and is listed in Who's Who in American Women. Her philosophy is to actively give and make a difference in my community. And she is joined here tonight by friends and associates, her partner Peggy, and it is my privilege to ask all of you to join me in welcoming Barbara into our ranks. You certainly may rise in your defense.
I love our community and best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we'll go and eat cake.
Yes, all these people in uniform will just get up, and they do this every time. They you just plan it and go, okay, we're going to go eat cake, and we don't feel bad about it.
No.
What kind of cake is that?
So
you
feel
good.
Just have to serve cake, and we stay longer.
Oh, cake at 6.
There you go. We can do that.
We'll give them a couple seconds, you know, because they got to file out for their cake. I don't know.
Cupcake is the one.
Yeah, that's it.
I have enough to go around.
Oh, so we're going to take a 5-minute break while she runs home.
Yeah, really. Okay, Council, I have a change in the agenda. We're going to blame it on the new city clerk for screwing up the agenda, and we neglected, but we have the person here that she's here to do a presentation by the Commission Against Domestic Violence, so she's here with information, so we will squeeze her in. Thank you for your patience. Welcome.
Good evening. Thank you for squeezing me in, and you can place all the blame on me. It is entirely possible.
just wrote the date down wrong. So I'm going to pass that hand out for everyone. Full intimidating to follow Chief Knapp because, first of all, he's much taller. He also talks much more slowly and has that extra emphasis in his voice that I can't quite achieve, but I'll do my best. So I'm Susan Mars. I'm the director of the commission, Bellingham-Waukam County Commission Against Domestic Violence. Many of you have seen or heard me speak before, so you already know that I speak at least five times as fast as Chief Knapp, and I'm half the height. So just in your packets, you have some handouts that I'll just kind of be going through and you can refer to. So just a little bit about the commission as a reminder. We're a joint City of Bellingham-Waukam County commission, and our mission is to provide leadership in our community's response to end domestic violence in Waukam County. So that means we do two kind of areas of work. And one is we work on broad-based community awareness, letting the general public know about what domestic violence is and what they can do about it if it touches someone that they know in their lives. And then the other piece is working with the systems and how the systems respond to domestic violence. So things, places like law enforcement, child protection, schools, faith communities, working with all those different community systems and helping them provide best practice responses to survivors, children, and perpetrators. And we accomplish that mission through the work of, we have three staff, and then we have 28 commission members, and they really are the ones who help us accomplish our work because all of them are leaders in our community here in Waukam County. We have three members who are leaders here in Ferndale. Chief Mike Knapp is one of our commission members. Linda Quinn from the Ferndale School District, the superintendent, and Mayor Jensen is one of our commission members. And each of them use their leadership and their information and their connections to help us accomplish our mission. And then you have a full roster in your packets as well. So the other thing you have in your packets, I don't always do this, but this year I decided when doing all these presentations, I just want to provide a quick background on what domestic violence is. I think when I get started and all of you are thinking about domestic violence, the picture that pops in your mind is the woman, probably black eye, maybe broken bones and bruises, who's saying she fell down the stairs. And that is certainly a victim of domestic violence, and that as many victims of domestic violence at some point in their relationship, but that is not the most common type of domestic violence that's happening to people. That physical abuse is just one piece of the fuller picture of domestic violence. You have a flyer in your packet that kind of looks like this, that has some more examples of what domestic violence is and what really is the pattern of abusive behavior that's used to establish and maintain coercive control over an intimate partner. So there's all these pieces of control that happen that aren't physical violence. And in fact, some people will say if they have enough control, they don't need the physical violence because they can get control in other ways. So some examples, there's emotional abuse, and that can be things like, and again, this is a pattern. This is not the one time where you might think, oh boy, one time in my relationship with my kids, I got a little elevated, and I wish I hadn't said that thing, that I wish I'd been kinder, been a little nicer. It's about the pattern, over time, consistently doing these things. Calling someone names and putting them down, intentionally embarrassing them in public, telling people what to do and where, threatening to commit suicide from someone and leaving. Those are some of the examples of emotional abuse. Sexual abuse can be any action that presses or coerces someone to do something sexually they don't want to do. Stalking, showing up at places unannounced, unwanted gifts, unwanted text messages and phone calls, and again, the pattern over time. And the physical abuse, there's got a few examples and things that aren't only the ones that we think of, not just the punching and the weapons, but things like grabbing someone's face to make them look at you, things like that can be physical abuse. Financial abuse, it's one of the more subtle ones, but again, it's about control over time. Giving a partner an allowance and watching what they buy. Forbidding someone to work or limiting the hours they work. Refusing to give someone money for food, rent, clothing, medicine, their basic needs, all of those things, again, a pattern over time. And then digital or technology abuses, we like to call it. So this is a newer thing, using technology, all these new forms of technology, which some of us probably can't even dream up all the ways that you can monitor or control someone using technology. So again, when you're thinking about what we do related to domestic violence, just think about that full picture of not only the physical, but that broader control that someone is looking for in a relationship. And then I just want to talk a couple minutes about our strategic plan. We have a new strategic plan that kicked off this year, so I want to share that with you and share some of the projects we're looking at. So you have a slide that looks like this that has, we have four primary goals in this upcoming several years, and the first one is to engage the broader community around domestic violence, its impact, and what their local resources are. So we really want to raise public consciousness about domestic violence. And again, focusing not only the physical abuse piece, I think we've done a great job of that in this movement over the past 30 or 40 years. It's moving to the controlling piece and the emotional abuse and the stalking and getting people to really understand that piece and how to support someone they know who's experiencing those. We're also focused on promoting best practices in our community response, specifically focused on high risk and high lethality domestic violence, the most serious domestic violence cases, the ones that are most likely to result in serious assault or homicide. and then increasing capacity in our community to address domestic violence impacts children and youth. And this, a lot of this is about prevention, that the more we can serve children and youth who are witnessing or experiencing domestic violence, the more we can prevent future domestic violence. And the fourth piece is we are looking at exploring expansion to consider, right now we address intimate partner violence, to also address sexual violence that doesn't happen in intimate partner relationships, sexual assault that occurs outside of an intimate partner relationship. And that discussion we will be having as a commission next year, so it's not something we're currently working on. I just want to give you a couple examples of some of those strategic goals. You have another, and that looks like this, I think. I want to give you one example of each of the things we're working on so you can just get a taste of what we're working on. Each goal, we have several projects going, but as an example, so engaging the community to prevent domestic violence through increasing public consciousness, we're working on a toolkit for faith communities, and this is actually something we've been working on for a couple of years. We're rolling it out this year as a pilot project, because one of the things that we've found is that many victims of abuse, they don't call law enforcement, they don't tell their employer, they don't even often tell their neighbors, their family and friends, but they are telling people within their faith community. They're telling their pastor, they're telling their kids, are telling their youth group leaders, or telling their group, you know, their small group leader, if they're a women's group or a men's group. And so we really want to provide support to those faith communities to think about how to help that family. And the other thing about faith communities, a lot of times the whole family's there together, so it's a really unique opportunity to help children heal, to help perpetrators change their behavior, to help survivors be safe. So like I said, we're rolling out that pilot this summer. The second strategic goal, promoting best practice in our community response. We started last year and are continuing to implement a lethality assessment program. And the Ferndale Police Department, they were our stars in this program. They were the first ones to roll this out of all the Whatcom County law enforcement agencies. And so in 2014, they conducted 29 lethality assessment program screens. So when they go to a domestic violence call for service, their officers, they have a protocol. And if based on the what's happening at the scene and what their gut is and what kind of physical assault and what kind of history there is there, they conduct this. It's 11 questions. And based on these questions, they ask the victim, someone can either screen in or screen out for high risk. And it's research-based, and it's a national tool that we've brought into Whatcom County. And so in 2014, the Ferndale Police Department conducted 29 of these. And out of those, they identified 19 survivors at high danger, so not survive, not identifying domestic violence, but identifying their high danger for lethal assault or serious assault. And then out of those 19, they connected 16 of those people with community-based advocacy services on the scene. And that is really the point, is to get those people connected on the scene in that moment when they're experiencing the trauma, most likely to ask for help, connected to a community-based domestic violence advocate and getting that immediate support, safety planning, connection for longer-term support. So they were able to get almost all of them connected. And there are various reasons why someone might not get connected. The victim can refuse to talk to an advocate. Sometimes there can be something with, if the officer has to immediately go to another scene, immediately get someone to jail, they may have to return the next day, and so they would not get that immediate connection. And there could be something from the advocacy end as well. So they have done an excellent job in meeting that goal. And then a third goal is to increase capacity in our community to impact domestic violence that impacts children and youth. And so we've had for several years a grant with the Ferndale School District to work on dating violence, sexual assault, and stalking in their schools. And we are currently working with a group of youth at the Ferndale School District. I think I saw one in the audience, one of our student leaders, is helping us plan this summit. So we're planning a summit for the end of September, September 29th to be exact, and these youth are planning a summit day-long for every single middle and high school in Whatcom County. So we're inviting a team from each middle and high school in Whatcom County. We're asking them to bring an advisor. They can bring up to 7 young people, and the full day we have speakers from Idaho Coalition Against Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. They have a teen council that has done trainings around the country on healthy relationships for youth. We have presenters from Western Washington University's peer educator program. Some of the different youth advisory groups of Ferndale High School are presenting projects based on what they've been working on over the past several years as part of this project. So it's a full day just focused on healthy relationships, how to break up in a healthy way, how to communicate with someone you're dating, how to communicate about sexuality, how even our language impacts how we respect people of different sexes, people of different genders, people of different sexualities. So it's this whole day focused around healthy relationships, healthy sexuality, consent. And then at the end of the day, each of these teams is going to come up with an action plan for their own school and their own community, and then they're going to go back with their advisor and go to their middle school, go to their high school, and implement that action plan and hopefully make some culture change within their own school. So that's something that we have going on related to that. So as I said, each of these schools, we have a couple of different projects. I just wanted to give you a highlight of each one of them so you guys get a sense of the work we're doing. If anyone has any questions or comments, you have my card, and I'm open for questions, comments now as well.
Any questions for our guests? Councilperson Goodrich?
I just
something you said kind of sparked a thing here when you're talking about some families. Do we see an issue with domestic violence here where it's a cultural-based thing versus just the normal two people getting into it or something like that, where it's, you know, it's because of the culture of coming from another country that they feel that they can treat one or the other in a way?
It definitely can be true. So there can be other countries that have different laws related to domestic violence than we do, or different laws or norms related to how you treat intimate partners, so that can definitely be true. That immigrants may, violate the law sometimes without knowing. There might be a culture of not as much equality between partners when they're together. It's also true within our general culture. Yeah, but I think there are things that make someone more more vulnerable to victimization is coming from a culture where perhaps there aren't as many laws in that culture against violence, perhaps there aren't as many norms about equality in relationships, or there aren't as many norms about reaching out for help in your community or with law enforcement, and that would certainly especially make those victims and their children more vulnerable.
Do you see that here in Whatcom County, or does that not really affect us?
No, because we definitely have some immigrant populations here, and we have some populations that are more disconnected from larger communities, and we have some transient populations, and then you don't get to build those community relationships that you need if you're more transient sometimes. So, definitely can be a concern here as well.
Any other questions for our guests? Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Glad it worked out.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
Okay, council before you is the consent agenda.
Move to approve.
Second.
Seconded by Councilperson Olson. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Okay, next up is capital project updates. Welcome.
Thank you. Good evening, Council. My name is Katie. I'm the project manager for Public Works. Got a couple of things to go over. We'll start off with Church Road. Happy to report for the most part the project's done. It's paved, striped, the ribbon's cut. There's a couple little items that we have yet to do. We're tracking down some kind of elusive red curb that we promised a property owner that we were going to replace. So once we get that done, we'll do the final pay estimate. We are prepping for an audit, a project management review. A member of WSDOT who is representing the federal government will come in next week and take a look at our books. So that's pretty serious, and we're trying to get everything shaped up and ready for that. So that's pretty much it on Church Road. If anybody has any questions.
Any questions?
Nope. All right. Next on the list is the drainage that we put in at the Cost Cutter site. For the most part, since the last update, which was in late April, that's pretty much done. There's some minor items that need to be done on that one as well. Some striping. We eradicated some parking stalls, so those need to be replaced. And then there's a couple of stop bars that the contractor needs to put in. We're waiting for the grocery outlet folks to be done with their resurfacing their parking lot. So that'll be done here shortly.
Looks good.
Councilperson Goodrich?
Along the north side, I guess where the drain came into that trench, did they do any cleaning out of that? I noticed they looked like they put new, I call them Lego blocks, you know, concrete blocks in there. Was that done by the grocery people or us, a combination?
Yes, it was a combination. Well, we put in the pipe. They put in the apology block wall. So, did you say there was some...
Well, did they clean that kind of that out there between Main Street and their parking lot?
Actually, that was our guys. They got in there. There's the way that works is that the water, eventually, there's no water going into our 36-inch pipe yet other than what was coming in from the parking lot catch basins. It all drains that direction, and then it heads to the east and runs along Main Street towards the freeway. And so our guys got in there and cleaned that out as part of this project to try to figure out where some of these pipes are going and to clean out some of the existing culverts that were there. So that was us. Carl Curcio got in and did some more stuff. We pulled out there was an old fence that used to be there. I think it used to be WSDOT's. And then the grocery outlet folks came in and extended off of our drainage, added the wall. And it's looking like we're going to be under budget on that one, too. So.
Good. Perfect. your budgets.
Sterling Sewer, the last time we talked about it, it hadn't started, now it's done, so hopefully nobody blinked because that one was done pretty quickly. It's sewer's in, it's functioning. We were able to clean up a few little strange water line stuff. Usually when you dig up the street, you find some weird stuff that's going on, so we were able to take care of a few little odd items there just because of the proximity to the existing sewer. I've got good news for that project as well. It looks like the total cost was like 10% less than the contract amount, so we did pretty well there. We'll be able to put some money back into the sewer fund, probably around $30,000.
Sweet.
Any questions? Next on the list is the house demolition on the corner of Vista and Washington. The demolition portion of the project is complete. The contractor has to come back tomorrow. There's still a big hole there where the foundation was, so they'll come in and they'll backfill that. We knew that there was an underground fuel tank for the fuel oil for the furnace for the house, and so that was pulled. We discovered some contaminated soils there. Not a big deal. We hauled the material out and took care of that down to a handling facility. Got some testing done on that. It was a little over and above what we anticipated. I don't have the final numbers back yet, but we're hoping to stay under budget. It might be that we were a little bit over having to deal with that issue, but it's something that we just have to take care of. So I don't know if anybody has any questions.
Councilperson Olson?
Was that disclosed, that fuel tank, when we bought that property?
No.
Why don't we go back on the owner?
We had a hard time finding the owner for the final check. I think we had to hire a private investigator to find that owner for the final payment check. Yeah, no, that's a true story. I guess you'd have to answer that question.
Yeah, I don't even know if it was an inheritance. I don't even know if they knew it was there. It wasn't
if they didn't know it was there, you have not a life stand.
Right. Yeah. Because so, this was the family members of the original owner. They inherited it. So
trust.
Yeah, it was a trust that owned it. So it was not known to us. I doubt it was known to them.
Yeah.
Good
point.
Any other questions? Next on the list is Pump Station 4, and that's the city's sanitary sewer pump station located at the corner of Smith and LeBounty. So that project was awarded. There's a long lead time when you start dealing with pumps and electrical and all that stuff for those guys to be able to order the equipment. We are scheduling a pre-construction meeting. I was just reviewing my emails. It's like the 18th, so construction will get started probably some weeks after that. Like I said, we're waiting for a bunch of the equipment to be delivered. So we're still on schedule for November 23rd completion. You know, it's easy to stay on schedule when you haven't started construction. Anybody have any questions? All right. Next is Brown Road Culvert. If you remember, that's the where we're going to remove a couple of existing culverts west of the Burlington Northern crossing there at between Portaway and Malloy. Just on the consent agenda, awarded that project to Trimax, the city. Since I've been here, we have not worked with Trimax in the past, but we've heard great things. We've kind of checked around with a bunch of different agencies that have done work with them and heard good things. So we're looking forward to starting that project soon. So thank you for your questions. Just one other thing is that, you know, when we're replacing that, there will be a full road closure, probably will be for a couple of months. The detour route will send folks up to the north, Grandview and around, so there'll be a little bit of inconvenience there.
Is that Brown Road that'll be closed or Portaway?
Brown Road. And I believe BNSF will be working on a railway project where they're going to be putting in an additional set of railroad tracks. So
the whole Brown Road from Portaway to Malloy, but it'll basically close both lanes?
Yeah.
Okay.
There will be no road, so there will be no.
And they wouldn't be able to come down Brown and go on Malloy?
The road will be closed at Malloy on the east side of Malloy. So if you're traveling east, towards Portaway on Brown Road, you'll have to turn down Malloy and go that direction.
Okay, so you still could go around that. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So, and, you know, we're working with Riley to send out notices, and we're going to be sending out notices to, we've gotten in the habit of just letting folks know that live fairly close to a project that that's going to be happening. So, like I said, with Burlington Northern's project, I'm not sure. I think they were going to allow some sort of closure of their crossing, so I don't know how that's going to impact traffic later, what the timing is.
What's the total time closure?
I believe, I'd have to check the specs, but I believe it's a full road closure for the entire duration, which is 30 working days, and that works out to about 2 months. So I would tell people about 2 months worth of road closure.
But the homes in
just a few.
Yeah, at least, what, one on the south side and one on the north side, yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple so they'll have to head west or south.
We might hear from the Buffalo Ranch in terms of his buffalo meat sales, but I'll deal with that.
I got it.
Any other questions? Right. Next on the list is actually work that our crew is doing. You've probably seen the press releases. Our guys have been working to improve Main Street west of Church Road. And so that work will be hopefully, quote the broken record or whatever, depending on weather, tomorrow if they can pave. So that work will be completed tomorrow, hopefully, if they can pave, as long as it doesn't rain.
It'll rain.
Paving or bad.
Should you be in chance?
So if that gets revised, then we'll be updating folks.
Supposed to get an afternoon rain this afternoon. See how that worked out.
Yeah.
Okay,
okay,
moving on.
So other items that are on in the queue. Labounty Sewer, we're working on a design for replacing the sewer in Labounty, basically from where it Labounty turns south and runs next to the freeway there next to the co-op to about up to Hagen's easternmost driveway. So we're still working on that. There's some utility issues, as there usually always are. So we're working on that as far as getting a design put together. We're hoping to go to construction later this summer, early fall. That'll be utilizing some of the sewer bond money that we have. I know that everybody is waiting with bated breath to see when crack sealing is going to occur on Main Street. We were talking about that today. We'll actually be bringing forward some TBD project updates for the list. And so we've got some ideas as to how to address that crack sealing. I've actually got a call in to Whatcom County. They do crack sealing, so we're going to try to see if we can stretch our dollars farther by having the county help us out with that, and then see if maybe we can add some items, maybe Vista, Fulton Road, to that. So stay tuned. One other project that we're currently working on design is Malloy Sewer, again with the bond money. There's a section of sewer north of Thornton, between Thornton and, Oxford. Anyway, that sewer is under capacity, in bad shape, really super deep. It's like 20 feet deep at the manhole there at Thornton and Malloy, so it'll be kind of a tricky one, but we're working on design on that one as well. So that's all I have.
Any questions for Katie before we go to the Acting Public Works Director? No? Okay.
Thank you.
So you probably have an update on a little building we're remodeling?
Yes. We had our construction meeting this morning for the Pioneer Pavilion, and it is nearing completion. The fire suppression system should be installed by the end of this week. And in fact, Friday afternoon we'll probably be starting the punch list for the project. So. That usually takes a little while to get done, and then afterwards, after the contractor is done, the floor is going to be refinished, the wooden floor in there, and then the Chamber of Commerce is going to be painting their offices and also putting in new carpet in their spaces as well. So we're still shooting for probably a July opening date that'll give the chamber time to kind of move in a not much of a hurried sense, and also a chance for us to be sure that the building's all up to snuff and everything is all done. So that's actually going extremely well. We did have some issues. When you go down there, the fire suppression pipes, we have an exposed ceiling in there. You have to actually look for them because they're painted the same color as everything else up there. So it blends in. Most people will think that it's always been there. So it really doesn't look like a retrofit 40 years after the building was constructed. And otherwise, it's really in good shape. We had some issues. We could not turn the lights on in the future kitchen area. Well, we figured out what the problem was. Some pesky rodents had chewed through some wires, so it's been repaired and the rodents have been dispatched.
I'm going to tell you, if they chewed through some wires, you better go looking for some dead rodents.
Yeah, exactly. So that's going well. And I just to kind of tag on to what Katie said. Not only is she and Bo and the rest of the crew doing an exceptional job this summer, they're doing a lot. As you heard, there's a lot of projects going on. But perhaps even more importantly, we sat down today and started to plan for next year's projects. She mentioned we're going to be bringing up forth, probably at our next council meeting, a revised TBD list, because as you do projects and anticipated costs become actual costs, you know whether you have dollars to move around. And then she mentioned about the county with the chip ceiling. So we're going to be bringing a new TBD list, and we've revised our next two-year storm projects. Wendy has taken her crystal ball and figured out what she wants to do for the next 2 years in storm. And we're going to be doing the same with Mike Olinger and Bo with the water and sewer and streets. So we'll be bringing those back probably in the coming months so you can kind of see where what we did on our capital project lists and where we're going to be here in the future. But I just want to call out especially for Katie and the other folks. They've just been doing a great job. This is an era of transition, So they've been really, really doing well and making it easier for me to try to be sure that everything's held together. When you can rely on your folks, it's a lot easier to go home at night and realize that chances are nothing's going to go sideways. So I want to thank them for that. We did, speaking of the overall transition, last Friday was the close date for our Public Works Director job announcement. And we received, I believe, 7 or so applications, and we're going to be going through them this week, and there are some very strong candidates in there just from looking at the resumes. So I'm encouraged that I believe we'll be able to find someone who will probably step up and just do a wonderful job, and we'll report back as that progresses.
Any questions? Councilperson Watson and then Goodrich.
When do people start making reservations for the pavilion? Are you going to open up that process yet, or are you just waiting?
We're drafting the leases and the documents for that this week. So we want to have a hard date for when everybody's all moved in and set up.
One thing we're working on, too, is that invariably there's a lot of stuff, and we've talked to this before, there's a lot of equipment that we just don't have. Not only things like microphones, but, you know, we don't have tablecloths. There's a lot of things. So
we don't have tables.
We have chairs.
Chairs. A lot of chairs.
So actually, Riley is going to be kind of looking around, and the easiest way to find out what you need is to look around at other renting venues and see what they offer. Because chances are, if it's on a list that you can rent it, someone's probably going to ask for it or has asked for it in the past. So we're going to be working on that, and then we'll also be kind of ramping up and putting together the forms that are needed to start renting out the facility.
Customers Goodrich?
Guess what I'm going to ask about? Restroom.
Yes.
Are they going to be open before the July 1st, also, if they are or whenever they are, can we get a sign for hours of restrooms or something so people will know?
Oh, that's a good idea.
That the restrooms are open from this to this, and what days of the week if there's still an issue with our parks worker on what days.
Yep, things absolutely. Are as far as the bathrooms themselves, one of the issues we ran into, a minor one when it came to putting in the fire lines, is that you can only put so much stuff up in the ceiling, and we have all the heating ducts and all the framing members up there. So it's been a little bit of a jigsaw puzzle insofar as they literally had to take down some of the heating ducts, run the fire suppression system, and now reroute the ducts around the fire suppression system. I bring this up only because in the ceiling in the bathrooms, it was particularly tricky. Most likely because that's also where the roof starts to slant more, so you literally have less area above the ceiling to put more stuff in. So they had to take down a considerable amount of the ceiling. That's why the bathrooms have been out of commission, because they literally removed the lights to be able to get up there and work. Well, now they're starting to put it together. So probably this Friday, when we go through our punch list, I'll have a much better idea about how far they are in getting those bathrooms put back together. Because as we've talked about and as you just mentioned, we do want to try to get them open before we open up the pavilion for rental. So I'll know more on Friday.
Councilperson Olson, and then Councilperson Bursch.
Will we be coordinating the start of the new public works director with the end of the paying of the last one?
Yeah, we're getting very close. I think probably within a couple of weeks or so. June 11th is the last pay period. So, yeah, there might be a two-week, a month gap, depending on the interview schedule as well as the successful candidate's notification to their existing employer. So there may be a month where, you know, we actually save a little money. But, yeah, it's been good to work it off, and it'd be nice to kind of turn the page and get going on.
Councilperson Bursch?
The porta potties are still at the Boys and Girls Club until the pavilion is open.
I'm not sure. I don't know if we
put them there. The Boys and Girls Club put them there. And okay. I believe they're leaving them there for.
Where are they located?
Right next to the Boys and Girls Club.
No. The ones at the back parking. If you went behind the pavilion to that back park, there's one right there by the big gates to go into Pioneer Park. Where the other ones are, I don't know. But right by the playground area, there's one.
No, I think Boys and Girls Club.
Boys and Girls Club rental.
Well, the one behind it. By the gate contractor did.
Okay. Any other questions about capital projects? No. Okay. Before we go on to our next presentation, I want to do a brag a little bit about one of these organizations. If you remember when we did the library construction and. We had all the plants for the mitigation area, and we stopped a Lean Friday meeting where all the city employees kind of, we made a giant line, and we stacked up all these plants, and I remember all of us were tired that Friday and go, we're never going to plant these plants. This is never going to happen. It's going to come Saturday morning, and it was the Nooksack Salmon Enhancement Association, and they kind of came in with some shovels, and some little people trickled in, and then a wall of people came, buses came, cars came, and I think we were done by, oh gosh, what was it? It was done before noon. It was just this army of people, and Yori's children got more muddy than I think I've ever seen them, and they had a great time at it. But it was just, I was just impressed. If you ever get a chance to attend one of their events, it's whatever they do for volunteer. Getting people out, just great job, because it just, the people kept coming, it's like, oh, maybe this might work, we are going to plant, because I could just see, oh, we're going to dig these holes for like the next 3 days, and we were done before 12, so I would like to bring up the Nooksack Salmon Enhancement Association and Windward High School, our great students from there, even brought their principal here.
So what did Yori do? Is his kids out charging for parking or something?
I think Yori's children, their objective was, they did plant a couple trees, but mainly it was, I think they were taking mud from our site and taking it home.
We had some potholes at my house.
Yeah.
So
kind
of stole, I have pictures.
Stole some asphalt.
They had more mud than anything else on them. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
was working.
I'll touch it. I'll see it.
I think you probably need a newer laptop from the school district.
Compatible with our projector.
That projector boosts it. Nice.
Well, without it, well, since they're trying to get that fixed, short story, I was actually there at the Friday work party with NC. I was taming the salmon for almost the whole day. It was really fun. I didn't see you there, though.
I was covered in mud.
Awesome. So, I'm Aces Morales. I'm a junior at Windward High School.
And I'm Ruby Nix. I'm a senior at Windward High School.
Is that the stand up there? Alright, so.
So Shell Creek has been monitored by NC since 1994. Before that, it was done mostly by the Lummi Nation. They did most of the testing down at Shell Creek, around Shell Creek. We collected the data to see what improvements can be made to sustain a healthier salmon population. The City of Ferndale helps oversee this project as well. They are a big partner with NC as well as High School.
So the Woodward testing sites, we have four sites we go to. Shell Ditch Library, which is right by the Ferndale Library, where the work party was, under a covert pipe. SC3, which is Shell Parish, which is the apartments on Main Street, it's also under another covert pipe. Got the word mixed up. SC5, which is the Shell tributary, Heather Drive, is, what's that area? That's
Pike Apartments?
Yeah. There you go. It's,
housing development.
There you go, housing development. It's a little bit messier than the other two sites.
But it looks most like a river.
Yeah.
It has winding and lots of woody debris found in the water.
Very well covered, very well vegetated, just low water, and that's really about it. But SC4, Shell Creek, which is Imhoff Road, which is right in the middle of nowhere, it's a little bit secluded. It's close to the Ferndale water treatment plant. Those are our four sites that we go to. So the sampling process, once a month, every Tuesday, we go with Tracy. Oh, right there. Tracy's wearing the pink shirt. She is the advisor for our sampling days. So once a month on Tuesdays, we go with Tracy to these four different sites. We use this called the YSI. It measures the temperature. It measures conductivity. Oh, sorry. Measures the conductivity. Measures the pH levels. Dissolved oxygen. All that. Same balls, which we use to collect water samples. One is used for turbidity, which would usually be the turbidity would usually not have one of these little white capsules in. These what are these?
These tell us that the capsule is sterile inside, so we normally use this for the fecal coliform because we need to have a clean, untainted sample for that.
So we take two samples from each every site. Every Tuesday we alternate. We take four samples for the control variable.
We also do a blank, which is just absolutely pure water. So if the machine is telling us that there's something in it, we know that it's not quite right and that the data could be skewed. So here's some of our data. As you can see around, the first one is water temperature. We stay pretty much below the lines put in place by the Washington State Ecology
department. And then the second one is PH. We stay pretty well between the two lines. We have very good pH levels in our waters. The specific conductivity doesn't have a limit put onto it by the Washington State Ecology Association, but we do tend to stay pretty low, which is good. A high conductivity can mean there's a lot of fertilizers in the water, a lot of chemicals, so you want to try to keep that as low as possible. So if our fecal coliform levels, we are consistently extremely over the line. We haven't really been below the line consistently in a couple of years, and that's the main goal of NC, is to find the cause of the fecal coliform source, as well as try to find a way to decrease its levels and educate the public.
Can you do genetic testing to tell where it comes from?
No. We don't
have. So you don't know if it's from dog or someone's horse?
We're pretty sure that it's mostly from pet waste. And he has been working with farmers and stuff, and that level of contamination has already been decreased a bit. Mm-hmm. But the pet waste is something a little harder to control.
Well, there is also, and our stormwater director has informed us that there's some concerns around grain in the storm drains and the vermin that follow the grain, which would start getting grain that's rotting in your storm system, and the rats that are eating it, you're going to have fecal coliform. So I'm not mentioning what the name of that site is, but I think that's also an issue.
And this is the specific data that our group, the Woodward High School group, has collected. It ranges from from 2014 to 2015. And you can see the fecal coliform levels. We only dip below the 100 level line two or three times. And the lowest we ever get to is 36, which is extremely low, but that same site often at one point is at 1,800 as well, so it ranges drastically.
Is it a time of year thing, or?
It can often fluctuate with how much water is flowing into the, or draining into the Shell Creek site, so like if more rain often means more runoff, which carries more people.
Have you noticed any trends over the years?
You can see it's kind of all over the place, mm-hmm. depending on the time of year, mm-hmm. but you can see some, so the fecal coliform level definitely increases after a big rain, mm-hmm. or or especially if it's a big rain after a long period of drought, mm-hmm. but then things pile up, and then with a big rain, it all flushes into the system at the same time.
Thank you.
So, I joined NC because I don't really actually know why I joined NC. I have always been interested in kind of biology. I'm not very good at it, but I try. I try out my biology class, it's difficult, but I enjoy it. There wasn't really much opportunities for me to work with biology, but actually NC, I've been working with NC for a number of years, at least 4+ years, because I work with North of St. College also. My mom is one of the researchers there, and she got in touch with me with Nathaniel Davis, who's a science coordinator there, and then he put me in touch with NC. So I started doing summer programs with him, a 2-week science camp. We do work parties with NC. It's always been a great experience. I've enjoyed it. It's a great way to get community hours in. It's a great way to meet new people, made long-lasting friendships. It's very fun. It's is I've grown a lot since I've joined them. I've learned how to work my community better, how to improve my community. When it comes to salmons, I know in Lummi, my tribe, it's a very big deal. Salmon is some families' only source of income, and we need Shell Creek to be a healthy, sustainable area for salmon and Solana Lake. So I've very much enjoyed working at NC. It's always a great experience. Mm.
And believe in the future, I want to become a zoologist focused in reptiles and behavioral science mostly. But there weren't really after-school activities or really even classes suited to my taste. The closest thing was FFA, and that wasn't really exotic enough. It wasn't collecting data or really scientifically thinking. But NC was very much the place in between. It was something that I could do, something I could partake in, and something that fit very well to my interests. It was nice being able to get out of the classroom once every month and kind of just go outside and spend a couple hours collecting water samples and just talking and being outside. It was very much an experience that I want to be part of again, but I kind of wish that I had learned about it a little bit earlier in my high school career so that I could have partaked in it more. It's just been a wonderful experience being able to partake in this association, this organization.
I totally forgot to share my future real quick. NC ties in with my future, sort of. I want to go into zoology, not say marine biology, or but this is kind of like working with streams and rivers. I want to go into more like, ecology. There you go. I want to go into more of like study of primates and big cats. So I like the most. But it's not a place for after high school. Right after high school, I plan on going to the army because college isn't good enough itself. It's pretty expensive. So okay, this ties in very well. It's a great experience.
Did you see if the Army has any kind of lab techs, because they do a lot of testing too, some of the chemical warfare stuff. You might get a chance to do chemistry, unless you want to be a grunt.
Considering the choices.
He's got Ranger all over him, I can tell. Good for you.
I think I'd prefer to say Ferndale for helping offer us this grab chain, and also the NC. Tracy for coming to our school and talking with us, and Smart Ecology for doing all this data work with us, and also Dennis, he works at the Friend of Washington plant. He's the one that does all that cool science stuff and works at the incubator and tells us the data. So, thank them.
Thank you.
That's a great. Any questions for our guests, or? Is that your presentation? You have more? Okay. Any questions or no?
Very cool.
Okay. Really want to help them there a little bit. Thank you. Next item in the agenda. This one is a struggle for the city administrator and myself. You guys received a letter from our county executive on the jail thing, and then we had, we were trying to speed it up, we had our attorney, Dan and Traxler, speak to the county's attorney, and then she was going to come tonight. She's in the middle of a, it's been a two-year remodel, and tonight is the big night. So I said, could I talk to Greg and talk to give you the synopsis of what we talked about with Dan Gibson, and then Greg will relate what that conversation is. So there you go.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
Point of personal privilege.
Sure.
I polled the other five of us that were here. Nobody asked for a vote of reconsideration. So I don't, frankly, I find this offensive because we have all decided what we wanted, and Jack Lowe's time would be better spent working on his end with his county council, who still hasn't made a decision, which they were supposed to do last Tuesday. And getting us, after he's already, his people already signed off on what, we already ran our agreement by them, and they signed off on it, and then to come back and say, no, they don't, that makes us even more suspicious of his actions. So I really don't think this should be discussed. I don't see why we're acquiescing to his request when we work for the Ferndale City Council. We don't work for the county.
Okay, so is the consensus not hear what our attorney spoke about? And it's your council, so you can make that decision.
I don't see why. I mean, I'm one voice. I don't see why we didn't run it by her the first time. I don't think we should be going for opinion shopping to try and justify something.
No, I don't think our attorney is giving an opinion. Our attorney was giving her legal answer to their legal answer. I don't think there was an opinion there.
Okay, well, why didn't they get their legal answer before they told Greg it was okay what our clause, our addendum was? They said it was okay. Now they go back and want to say something different?
I guess the answer to that question would be the explanation from our attorney. So I don't know if you want to hear it or not.
Let's hear it.
How much time do you have?
You got 5 minutes.
It was the Reader's Digest version.
No, it's pretty quick.
It's not dramatically different than what you either read or have heard. Talking with Dan, and who did talk to Dan Gibson and some others, there is a concern on the part of the bond raters and the bond council that having one of the parties to have an out on the agreement will make it more difficult to rate the bonds and also sell the bonds, because then the revenue stream is, or could be, called into question.
But they're not going for the bonds. There's no way they're going.
No, they would go for bonds. They still have. Keith is right. They still have two more votes. They have City of Bellingham, and then they have County Council.
Yeah, on the 16th of June, it's anticipated that the County Council could forward the ballot question onto the November ballot. And the concern from the county, at least some of the county folks, is that should the voters approve the bonds, when the county actually goes to sell the bonds, the bond people look at all the supporting documentation, and one of the pieces of supporting documentation is the pledge by all the different players that they are going to pay their share. And if not, then it, of course, falls back on the county. So that just brings some question or some uncertainty, and bondholders hate uncertainty. That's why they buy bonds and they don't invest in other things. So the concern is that it will make the bond issue difficult.
That's the horse before the cart. We're not even there yet.
Right.
If we get to that point, then we're going to know what we have. And if we have what we signed off on, then we don't have an issue with it.
They can always come back, make sure they ever decide
what they want to do. I think, to go off of what you said, even though it's not been discussed with them, I believe that we could say to them, and I think this is what you're hinting at, is that should the county council put it on the ballot in the form that we believe it should be, and should the voters approve it, then you might be in a better position to then maybe rescind that addendum.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that is something that's not been, at least I've not told that to them. I actually hadn't thought about the timing issues, but I could certainly communicate that to them.
Okay.
I'm not going to vote to pull.
Right.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to. It wasn't to put on a vote tonight.
That was confusing.
No.
And the other aspect too is that, of course, we have given them a conditional use permit for the jail. Should they propose to build something different, and we'll probably would need to define different. But should it be different, as is the case with all conditional use permits, if you don't do what you said you were going to do, then the conditional use permit is no longer valid and you have to go back through the process of the hearing examiner once again. They brought that up only because we, unlike the other cities, have another way to address any changes to the agreement. And Dan had also mentioned that should they build something different than what is contained in the interlocal, that in itself could be grounds for not only us, but any of the other signing partners to rescind their approval because the interlocal agreement contemplated X and they're building X minus 3 or whatever it might be. So there's a number of things. But if with your permission, I will communicate back to the county the timing issues here involved. And again, should the county do their thing, should the voters do their thing, we would then perhaps be in a position, and I think probably be in a position of comfortably taking that addendum off the table.
Sure. Councilperson Hansen?
Well, that was my point, is that, and Keith made it too, it's cart before the horse. It's not my intention, single councilperson, I haven't read that into any other council, to try and stop this project with some, because they build 520 beds instead of 521. What my intention is if there's a change, is that they have to come back to us so that we could discuss the change. That's how I read the intention of that addendum. Removing that addendum, once everyone understands exactly what this project's going to be, and there are going to be no more changes, remove the addendum. I don't think anybody's saying, well, we're trying to stop this jail. That's not what's being said here at all.
We just don't know what they're going to do.
And good point. And our treasurer would probably agree with this. The municipal bond market is strong. What is the latest statistics show that only 1.7 of the municipal bond market has a failure? 1.7?
Yeah, Detroit.
Yeah, and that's including Detroit.
Probably Orange
County. Municipal bonds are a very strong investment. So I'm not in a worry. Okay, so we'll have our city administrator talk to them and end of discussion. There you go.
Thank you.
And we had it up for discussion so we can say we talked about it. Okay, next up is mayor reports. The mayor has none. Council reports. Councilperson Hansen.
Well, I'm having a little bit of a procedure done here in the next couple of weeks. I need coverage on the 10th for sure of June. I'm not going to be in town. That's the start of this whole process.
That's for finance? Or no,
that's for public works and for...
Okay.
Okay, and then I'll need someone for...
Neighborhood services.
So just plan on staying there the whole morning.
Yeah.
Well, you can't. You're already there.
I'm already there.
John, I don't care. You and Carol played it out. Or Keith. Keith had his hand up, too. So.
Okay, you will be covered.
I'll be covered. We'll all be there.
We wish you well.
That's the way it's got to be. July 1st is probably will be at committees, but you know that may be an email request of you. I just don't know at this point.
Okay,
you're covered.
Okay, good. Councilor Savirsh.
The Ferndale Public Market opens on Sunday. Our mayor will be cutting the ribbon. We do have a taco truck that's going to be there every Sunday from the 8th through October when we shut down, and the first 100 people will be receiving a gordita.
There you go, free gorditas.
He'll receive tokens. Just come to the information table and we'll get a token for a gordita. There's 12 vendors and possibly more for those who just can drop in unannounced.
Well done. Good job. Councilperson Ingram.
Well, Custer, South Dakota survived. It was a very interesting trip. We had a marvelous time. Any kind of weather you can imagine we had. We did leave a few electrons in South Dakota, but not that many. The town where we were at in Custer has a permanent population of 1,840. Okay? They had 46 charging stations. We sucked up a lot of electrons from Black Hills, baby.
But it was a marvelous trip. It was really fabulous.
Well, we're glad you're back safe.
We did.
Any other council reports? No, seeing none. Finance director.
Nothing.
City administrator / public works director.
Nothing.
Community development director.
I have nothing, but Councilmember Watson was reminding me to remind you that we have the next Growth Management Act meeting of electeds coming up at some point, and I'll email you.
They haven't announced the date yet, though.
Oh, did they
not? No.
Oh, okay.
I think we have it at some point. I will send an email out.
Are you keeping it a secret just for yourself, or what?
Doesn't want to share.
Okay, great. Okay. Clerk's office.
Nothing.
Information officer.
Nothing.
Obviously, we can't have the police chief talk to us because he's eating cake while the rest of us are here.
Turn.
Okay, move to adjourn. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.